I just want to drop this word at you or to you, Oyeta. My paper is bietjie de mekaar. Jammer. Is lekker, ek het van julle lanklaas gesien. Thomas, is goed om julle te sien. Baie cool. Lekker, dankie, Saul, julle allemaal. So, Aurora, you'll just have to sort of jump with me. I'm going to jumping in the house of God. It's not funny, nie? See, my ouderdom is dan goed as snacks. Okay. How many of you have, I'm going to ask the same question, but how many of you sort of, many of you are students, but for those of you working, have a discovery card and have a gym membership, and how many of you are like that? Ooh, okay, it's a poor means. Okay, so you can relate. The rest of you laugh at them. It's amazing. So you have a gym membership, and you sort of belong to a gym, and you pay good money to belong to this gym membership. And how many of you have noticed that if you sort of left to yourself, your gym membership ages, and then you get a phone call sometimes from Discovery saying, "Sir, I know this sounds pathetic, but you have not been to the gym once in 10 days for a year." That's what you have to do. 3 days a month, 30 days a year, that's or 36 days. That's all you need to be in the gym, and they give you good discount. That's all you need to do. This amper niksie. So it sounds ridiculous. Once in 10 days, please swipe your card. That's all you have to do. But somehow that doesn't always work. And that's the reality. Even that thing in itself sort of forces you to go to the gym at least 3 times in a month, and you go and you swipe your card at the gym, at the Virgin Active, if you gym there, and you go and you buy a smoothie, and then or a muffin, and you walk out. But I want to say, I've seen people do this. They go there in their, so they actually get into their gym attire, and their shorts and stuff, and they go in their swipe, because you feel too ridiculous to just swipe your card and leave. So you go inside and you buy something, you sit there for 5 minutes, and you drink a smoothie and go home. You don't gym. But at least you go and swipe your card so your membership stays active. And it's amazing. I thought I was the only person that sort of struggled to get to the gym sometimes in a month. But I noticed there are hordes of people. That's why Discovery employs people to just phone people to remind them that you have to go to the gym, which you're paying for. But it's amazing, sir. That is a simple accountability system that is built in the whole system, so that you can actually, because they ensure that you have a healthy lifestyle, which means you're a low-risk person, which means you're good for the fund. If you go to the gym, you're good for the fund. That's how it works. I've noticed that the best way to actually get to the gym is to get Neil and Mornay on my side. How many of you have noticed these two stud muffins? Don't you just want to stand up, guys? Flex eats, okay, flex eats. Yes, they're very modest. Yeah, skaam en teruggetrokken. Anyway, nee, excuse ouwens, ek wil julle geen barriers het, maar when I started gymming, I started exercising in Pretoria, I just had my brother, Conrad, we called it Foundation 6. It's so funny, it's really. We have a Foundations, a spiritual growth series. Foundation 1 is meeting with Jesus, and 2 is church, and 3 is with your family. Anyway, Foundation 4 is Liberty Course, Vrijheid Seminar, and Foundation 5 sort of evangelism and counseling training. But everyone did Foundation 6. Everyone had joined the church when we were young, when we were in Pretoria. Everyone. Conrad forced everyone to go to the gym. He didn't force them. He just like invited them with in such a way that they couldn't say no. So they all, it's amazing, they all joined the gym. But Conrad's one of those people, he just, whatever he does, everyone else does. Why? Because he makes it feel so exciting. He's one of those naturally gifted, charismatic, he doesn't look like a charismatic person, but whenever he does something, everyone does what he's doing. He's a natural leader. Anyway, so I started going to the gym, and I found that it's really easy for me to go to the gym cause when Conrad is there, because, well, to put it bluntly, he would come and grab me from my room, I was still single, at the officer's mess, pick me up, throw coffee and oats in my mouth, and then we'd go to the gym. He'd force me to go to the gym every day with him. I make it sound bad, but I just mean he's one of those people that you are going to go to the gym with me. It's just, are we fine with that? Now, Neil, Mornay are not like that. They just encourage me. They invite me over and over and over and over again. And then I go to the gym with them. But it's a very simple thing. I find it easy to gym three times a week because they invite me. And I'm going to the gym because Neil waits for me and Mornay waits for me. And Mornay is always 15 minutes earlier because he wants to catch up. He's sort of a gym scallum. As on CK can and Jimmy. And we get there and he's already sweaty. And then we sort of just gym with him. But that's how it works. That's why you look so good. Yes, that's where he gets his humility from as well. Going to the gym. Yeah. But it's a rather baie eenvoudige ding. You get the point. The reason why I gym is because they gym. And the reason why they gym is because I gym. We sort of encourage one another. And we can say we're keeping one another accountable to go to the gym. And that's a very simple process. They gym, I gym. Accountability is just a process in which you are accountable for your decisions to someone else. The person, and you say what you want to do, and the person just holds you to your decision. Very simple. They hold you to your decision, and they encourage you to say that you said you wanted to do this. My work here is to make sure that what you say and what you do looks the same. What you say and what you do looks the same. You say you want to go to the gym, you do it. Specifically, if you have a specific plan. I mean, I just go to the gym with them. That's what I do. That my plan is to go to the gym. That's my. I have a successful gym session if I struggle to walk out of the gym. That's easy. I walk in, I break myself, and I walk out. That's a successful gym session. That means I'm successful. Some people have more sophisticated methods. They actually have a program and stuff. You can see Mornay looks very good these days because he has a program now. So I've been out of the loop for 2 weeks, but I noticed that Mornay picked up 8 kilograms in those 4 weeks. So really? You can see, you can feel sy arms na die tyd. Hy is getroud, but feel it. But it's because he has a program, and Neil and Mornay keep one another together, keep one another accountable on the program. That's very simple. Accountability. Ask them to do it. The first person, by the way, who started with the Alcoholics Anonymous program, I forgot his name now, but it's a Christian guy. It's a really amazing guy. He walked into the... He's anonymous. That's why I didn't know his name. Thank you so much, yeah. Anyway. Thank you, Derek. Ek skou gaan met my kan. Ek lag nou uit. But the first person, I started, he was a Christian guy, and he walked into the bar, and he said, and it's the eighth time that he wants to stop, and he has not had anything to drink for like 3 weeks at that stage, again, which is amazing for him. And he found himself walking to the bar and hating himself again. And as he walked into the bar, he said, I was going to tell a joke now, but he walked into the bar, it just sounds like one of those jokes. So the Christian walked into the bar. So he walked into the bar and the guy, and he said to himself, he said, I really don't need a drink now. I need another addict. I need another alcoholic. And it's amazing to him. Just because, and that's how he started Alcoholics Anonymous, which is probably one of the biggest organic organisms on this. It's one of the biggest organizations, thanks, I want to say, on the earth today. It's just because this guy clicked something. He realized something that accountability is one of the most powerful tools on earth, where you make a decision and someone else makes a decision, and none of you is like both of you on the same footing, but we just say, I need help here. This is where I need help. Are you going to help me? Yes. What can I do for you? And the two of us, we have something in common, and we're walking the road together. It's amazing, and like so many organizations just based on the Alcoholics Anonymous organization all over the world now, that still exists, computer stuff for guys with porn, other organization meetings for people, weightless and Weight Watchers, the same thing. I mean, it's simple. If you want to lose weight, it's really simple. Eat less and move more. I remember watching the one Oprah, it'll be quick, but Oprah session, it was the funniest thing I've seen on earth. So it's 3 o'clock on some random day in the week. I walked into the coffee place at our work while I was still working in the Air Force, and it's like Oprah review of something, I don't know what. And I pour coffee and I smile. Just, I'm saying that so that you know that I don't watch Oprah at home when I'm bored. Anyway, so and I kijk so, and this is like this guy who wrote this cutting edge book of the best book on dietary ever. And so she's like, okay, so doctor, whatever, can you basically just summarize your book? What is the crux of your book? He says, Mel, Oprah, it's actually really simple. To lose weight, you have to move more and eat less. And I'm like, no way. It's like someone had to write a book about that. Anyway, but it's amazing. Everyone knows that if you want to lose weight, that's what you do. But everyone fails. Most people fail at losing weight because it's so flippant difficult to do. It's so simple, but so difficult. It's so simple, but so difficult. It's the same as stop drinking. It's easy. Just stop drinking. Just don't drink anymore. But if it was that simple, everyone would stop drinking. But now it is not that difficult. And that's why Weight Watchers and Weightless and all these guys have programs. And all they do is they tell you, what do you want to do? Write down what you want to do. Please come with me. Do it. Okay, are you doing what you said you're going to? Accountability. Very, very simple process. And it's so powerful because of a few principles. The principles of commonality and purpose. The principle of just like encouragement. I encourage you to your own goal. And just comfort when you fail it. Listen, it's a fine, we'll make it again. And that's all. That's all you do. You don't do the work, the person does the work. Accountability is really powerful. It's a Christian principle. It's found in the scriptures. Just accountability. I'm not going to go into the theology now, but it's very simple. You are accountable before God. Every one of us will stand before Jesus one day and give an account for our lives. And that's why on earth, let's do this now already. Jesus said, my words will judge you in the last day. So now in this age, judge yourself by my words. Judge yourself by my words. And then the principle of accountability is just rooted in the fact that we all belong to the same body. We are accountable. We belong. We have to encourage. If one part of the body suffers, then everyone suffers. If one party is honored, then everyone is honored. So what do? We just encourage one another to pursue Christ. Yes, Owens, when I told my story earlier, I didn't major on this part, but my friends, I mentioned something about my friends earlier. Yeah, Chantal knows most of my friends. The fact I've had the biggest growth in Christ during my years is quite simply because my friends pursued Christ with me and they encouraged me and they invited me with. And then the stuff that I struggled with, they ensured that I actually seek Jesus, that I wake up in the morning, Jakub Prinsloo. There's a friend of mine in Rez. I always mention this story, but he's probably, the two of us got this right. For 2 years, we kicked one another's doors down 6 o'clock in the morning. If he doesn't kick my door down by 6 o'clock, then I have to wake up and kick his door down at 6 o'clock and just say, Yaku, you said you wanted to pray and read the Bible, so now here I am. And then I'd shove coffee down his throat, and then we'd read the Bible and pray in different rooms and stuff. But the fact is, we hold one another accountable for this very simple thing. Are you pursuing Jesus? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? I mean, do you have a real relationship? Not does a relationship exist between, do you have a relationship? Are you having communion with him? Do you have conversations with him? Are you fasting? Are you praying? And we do that together. And we grew in Christ just because of this accountability relationship. I want to just, 1 John 1 verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us of all unrighteousness. It's one of those scriptures that if you've been in Shofar for longer than a week, then you know the scripture off by heart. Because I come back to the scripture a lot because of what it has done in my life. It's the basis of accountability. The fact that we walked in transparency. We walk in transparency. We walk in honesty. And that's the basis of any accountability relationship. I want you to know that you have the freedom to ask me anything. I will not hide it from you. That is the basis of an accountability. Now, you can have an accountability relationship without that. You can have an accountability relationship just based on your finances, knowing that someone just saying, I want you to know that you are welcome to ask me anything pertaining to my finances, because I want you to know that I walk in transparency and the light. What do I spend my money on? What do I do with my money? I want you to know that you can ask me anything concerning to my time, maybe. But basically, accountability relationship, if you have an accountability relationship, is just please ask me anything. I'm going to tell everything to you. I will tell you my greatest fears because that really shows me your heart. It's amazing. If you want to know someone, if you want to know yourself, or if you can be blatantly honest, it's sometimes difficult to be honest with yourself, isn't it? Anyway, so try this exercise and then reveal it to someone. If you want to know yourself, if you want to get to the heart of who you are, write down the stuff that you love the most. Now, you're welcome to write down, I love Jesus, but you also love ice cream. And you also love the stuff that you love. Love TV and stuff. Write down the stuff that you really want, the stuff that you do, the love, stuff that you love, that you're devoted to. And then write down the stuff that you absolutely hate. A person is known in the one level between the stuff that you love, those things that you are drawn to, and the stuff that you hate, those stuff that you are steered away from. It's actually good to hate stuff. It's biblical to hate stuff. It's biblical to hate sin because you will be pushed away from the stuff that you hate. And that's the type of accountability relationship. Share the stuff that you love and the stuff that you hate. And now write down the stuff that you should hate, but you don't. You love them. You've got like a love-hate relationship with stuff. I'm going to say it because it's something that I know that 70% of my... Yeah, you can, let's not talk about porn now. There, I said it. Maybe food. You love food too much. And every time you read the scripture in Philippians where he said, the mutilators of the flesh, those whose bellies are their God, and you read it and you go like, oh, maybe I'm one of these people. Because my stomach controls my life. I'm like, I love food too much. Anyway, so accountability relationship, you're honest about those type of stuff. Or you're honest about the stuff that you really desire and the stuff that you fear. That's another dimension. The stuff that you hope for, dream for, and the stuff that you fear, that you're also drawn towards and pushed away from. Accountability relationship. I want to just quickly, I'm going to give myself 10 minutes. My aim is here to encourage you to have an accountability relationship. And I want to bluntly say that you really need it. You really need someone that you can be blamed. How many of you have a real accountability relationship? Not a name, but someone that you are account. Can I just see your hands? I just want to know how much do I... Okay. Good, I see that hand. I see that hand. Accountability relationship. Let's just quickly, I want to show you. So, accountability relationships, you need to be honest. The next slide says that. It's a scripture that Paul says that we shouldn't lie and we should be honest to one another. I'm not going to go into Acts chapter 5 again. But want you to, the need for accountability relationship. James chapter 3. Maybe I said it this morning, but maybe you should write down this text and stick it on your fridge. If you... a person that's really hard on yourself, please just take that slide, maybe just the one, and just put that one scripture up. James 3 verse 2. We all stumble in many ways. Assume that you are a sinner and that you mess up. That's it. Don't be surprised by it. Know that you are a fallible person. Know that you really mess up a lot and you stumble in many ways, Paul says there. You stumble in many, many ways. I just want you to be comfortable with the fact that that's who you are. You are a fallible person. You really mess up. God knows that. It's in the Bible. God knows it. You are a fallible person. That's why you need a friend. That's why you need a friend. I'm not saying that's why you need Jesus. I'm saying that's why you need a living friend on this earth. You know you need Jesus. I'm saying you need an accountable person. Ecclesiastes 4. Verse 8 to 12, it says that two is better than one, two are better than one. If it was written in the Free State, we'd read two is better than one. But now, it wasn't written there. Two are better than one, because it says you've got a greater... But it says, if one falls, one can pick up his friend. But woe to the man who falls when he's alone. I didn't tell this part of my story as well. I don't drink alcohol anymore for many, many years. I mentioned just to you that I sort of started drinking a little bit. One night in my third year, I was really serving Jesus passionately. I was really, really serving Jesus passionately then. Yes, we were so committed to praying for the campus. Every time Pepu Kai, I see you, I'm reminded of the favor that we had. We prayed a lot, and the res really changed a lot, and the campus really transformed a lot. The whole town really changed. Stellenbosch is not the same as in my years, or in Elmwood's years. It's not the same town. There's other difficulties, but there were bar fights. Yes, I'm sorry. Anything with edit word. Okay, anyway. And the bar fights and stuff. It's like a it was a violent campus. It was really a violent place. Anyway, remember my third year. Maybe it's because of where I'm going with my story. Remember my third year. I went up to Pretoria during the holidays. We had to work in the Air Force because I had a bursary through them. And I went up and I drove up with two guys in a res. And remember, I decided I'm just going to stay in one of the Tux campus hostels because there was space for us. So we could sleep there with the other military students there and do some work. And I remember, I don't know why this happened. I really, if I think back, it's sort of as though I was drugged, but I wasn't drugged. I was visiting, guiding with the girls, and I told you by that time, Jesus really turned around my life a lot. Remember that night, I had two ciders. I didn't even drink really, and somewhere, I don't know why, but there was a small party in the one room with a few girls and a few guys. Remember, I smoked two cigarettes that night as well. I never smoked. I tried to smoke it anyway. I just like sort of tried. I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I did that. I can't figure it out. I never smoked. I'm just a health conscious person. I don't really like to drink either because I like being in control and stuff in my brain. So anyway, that night, I don't know what happened, but I ended up in bed with this girl, and it was the first time really that I went that far. The last time, but it was the first. So it was a big thing for me. That night, I tell you, I didn't sleep at all that night. Got into the car next morning, and we drove all the way to Pretoria, all the way to Stellenbosch. And I was like so freaked out by what happened. I was so freaked out. I was like completely freaked out by how could this happen? How could I know about soul ties? I know about stuff. I don't even know this girl. So I was completely freaked out. I don't know why I'm telling this story. But that's the reason why today still I don't drink at all. I don't drink at all, not because it's a sin, not because of anything, but because I'm reminded of the fact every time I see a beer, every time someone offers me a wine, every time at a wedding someone has champagne, and I see lots of weddings, every time I decline, I'm reminded of the fact of how fallible I am. Because two thing is, and I'm gone. That's who I am. That's the reality of the person. I don't have any control. Not really, but that's sort of every time I see that. So when I state to you today that we're all fallible, I want you to know that maybe you're not as fallible as I am, but I want to say that you're seriously fallible. And that's why you need someone. That's what the scripture says. Well, it implies the whole text, James. He says that if someone is caught up in sin and sin caused something, just confess your sins one to another. So you go to someone else and you literally tell him, this is how I messed up and this is what's happening in my life. And this is how I want you to know that you're welcome to ask me anytime. Say, for instance, Neil can ask me anytime about this thing. And he says, Ross, het jy alweer gedrink? And I'm saying, no, I het jy. And I say, okay, great. And ek weet wat jy doen as jy drink. Simple thing, but accountability relationship. I confess my sins to you. He prays for me for grace of God. But basically, the relationship is based on a vulnerability. I want you to know that I know that I'm fallible. And I have confidence in the trust to tell you that this is how I mess up. And then he just says that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering, he will do a great thing in the heavens because he will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Galatians 6 verse 2 sort of tells the other side of the story. He says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you are spiritual, should go to him and restore him. I put that in, go to him. But the point is, he's not the one confessing, but you're running after him. And the Bible says, you should restore him in spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you also should be tempted. And then he says, bear one another's burden. Like literally stake yourself to this guy and carry the weight of the suffering because he's really weak at this point. And this is what that text says. The text just basically says that I want you to be your brother's keeper, just like God asked Cain, "Cain, where's your brother? Where's Abel?" And he's like, I know. Am I my brother's keeper? And by implication, God says, yeah. That's why I'm asking you. Where is your brother? So accountability relationships go both sides. It's not just that I confess my sins to Neil, but when Neil has a, like sort of a krapperheid in his spirit, when he has a scratch in his spirit, and he's like, I wonder how it's going with Ross again. I haven't spoken to him in 3 days or 4 days or maybe 2 weeks. I'm worried about the guy. I'm going to pick up my phone and go to him. And then he asks me, he says, Ross, what's happening? And I'm like, no, I'm fine. And he's like, Ross, yes, he finally. It's like, yeah, I went to a wedding and there was wine. And it's like, I know. The Lord showed to me. I'm worried about you. And it's like, no, I lost my 8 because I lose. And he says, no, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to see to it that you get restored in the spirit of grace again. I'm going to literally bind myself to you. I'm going to carry your burdens. I'm going to see to the fact that you are fully restored because I am your keeper. I'm my brother's keeper. So accountability relationships go both ways. It's like based on the assumption that I share my weaknesses with you and I share my failures with you, but also based on the fact that even if I don't do that, you watch out for me because you are. And I'm going to say, just if I can be blunt, in our society today, we don't like putting our nose in other people's business. Why? Because, you know, your walk of faith is your walk of faith. And, you know, if that's fine with you and Jesus, that's sort of, maybe that's fine with you. God is an abstract God. There's one truth and there's one standard of holiness for all. And I want you to know that God actually expects us to watch out for one another. I just want to say that. It's not just a pastor and a sister. It's like if you have a brother in Christ and a sister in Christ who you walk a road with, then it's your responsibility to ask him the difficult questions, to sort them out, to say, listen, I love you, man. I don't want you to be caught up in sin. The reason why I'm saying this and the reason why both of these texts imply in James and in Galatians, and this is something that we don't really speak a lot about, and there's like difficult theology about this, but this is actually straightforward. The reason why Paul wrote the letter to the Galatians is because they, as the whole congregation, were about to deny Christ because of a wrong thinking. And his words is, they must get saved again. They were about to lose their salvation. And many people go, oh, you can't lose your salvation. I'm like, why was Thessalonians written? Why was Galatians written? Why was 1 John written? These books were written, Hebrews, because of the assumption that just because one day you said, I'm receiving Jesus as my Lord and Savior, it doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. It means he who endures to the end, he who persists in Christ will be saved. So this is the thing. And I mean, Paul writes, speaks to many of his friends, He says, Demas, speaks about Demas, one of the guys who was with him on the apostolic team. He says, Demas loved the present age too much. He left us. He's no longer serving Christ. He's serving himself. Demas is no longer saved. So when I'm speaking about this, I want to say that being your brother's keeper is like a real thing. It's like, I'm going to stand with you. And that's what the text in James clearly says. He says, if you can catch this guy, if you can, you're saving this sinner from hell because this guy is on his way going back in the flesh. So I just want to say, it happens many times. People just get so tired of failure. We have a friend who was an alcoholic, and praise God, I can say he was an alcoholic, because he's not anymore. But he was about to just give up on his wife and give up on everything. Why? Because he's so tired of failure. He can't get this right. You know, he's been praying forever, and he's went to count deliverance, and he's went to everything, but he just has a weakness. And the weakness is alcohol. And he just couldn't get it right. So, but if it wasn't for his friends, his accountability friends, if it wasn't for a few of us, I'm sure he would have liked to given up and walked out and just stopped trying. Why? Because he is a failure. And that's exactly when he's a failure, you say to him, listen, you're not a failure. You're still worth everything because Christ loves you. I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go. I am your brother's keeper. I'm literally, this is what the text there says, I'm going to stake myself next to you. I'm going to literally, like a guy with a broken leg, I'm going to be the plank. And I'm going to stay there until your leg is healed, until there's iniquity sorted. That's what it means being a brother's keeper. That's what it means being an accountability partner. It just means that I'm just here for the long haul. I'm here to see that you serve Jesus to the end. I'm accountable, but I want you to know that you must confess your sins to me, and I'll confess my sins to you. To walk in obedience and integrity, being an accountability partner, I'm going to rush now, but being an accountability partner, it's not just a sin-focused relationship. When I was at Varsity, I got it wrong. I really thought for a long time that this is it. We have a sin-focused relationship. I tell you my sins, and you tell me my sins. I'm not going to say this, but the typical stuff that you get in the men's hostel, multi-seller stuff, anyway. So when we have a men's meeting, I'll tell you what the relationship was all about. But ladies, I'm not going to embarrass myself here. My anyway, it's by makkelijk. It's rarig makkelijk. You just ask two questions, and like, everyone is like, yeah, I could be. It's okay, cool, let's pray. Anyway, let's just get back to the text. But being an accountability partner is not just a sin-focused relationship. In fact, it's much more than that. For the one big part, it's just, I must make sure that you obey Christ in integrity. And not just not sin, but also do the obedient stuff. James is saying, in James's context, I want to bring James's context in here when I'm quoting James here. James is saying, I want you to have pure and undefiled religion with God. I want you to care for the orphans. I want you to care for the widows. I want you to do good works. You are saved to do good works. You're not just saved so that you shouldn't sin anymore. Because sin is not just doing the wrong stuff. Sin is there. But sin is also doing the stuff that you are supposed to do. If you don't, not doing the stuff that you're supposed to do. So very simple. Accountability relationship, I must make sure you obey Jesus. You obey the text. I want to make sure that you obey. I want to make sure that you actually, well, first of all, just attend church. And attend small group meetings, whatever your fellowship, whatever. If you're in a different church, I don't care what you do there. But the point is, the text to Hebrews says, listen, are we serious? Are we serving Jesus? Now, why aren't you coming to church? Make sure that you get everyone to church. Accountability relationships are very simple. Let's get to church. Don't do it out of a legalistic thing. Do it because you actually want to be with Jesus and Jesus' people. If you don't want to be with Jesus and Jesus' people, well, that's our focus for accountability relationship. Why don't you like Jesus people? They're freaks. I know. You also a freak. Come join. Simple thing. Are you spending time in prayer? Are you spending time in devotions? Are you reading the Bible? Very simple accountability relationship. Because let's just be blunt here. And I can yell at worse in. So let's talk to the light. For so many people, they feel so ashamed all the time because they have a relationship with Jesus, but they don't pray and they don't read the Bible at home. They get fed at meetings or listening to iPod to Louis Giglio's sermons and stuff. And I'm like, Jesus is wanting you to have a relationship with Him. And the reason is just like, I want to go to gym, but unless Neil and Mornay says, opstaan, ons gaan gym, I'm not going to gym. Why? Because I'm a lazy person in my heart. I'm a lazy person. But if they're going to the gym, I'm like, there's pressure, I'm going to the gym. So accountability relationship is this simple. I ask Niku, so what did the Lord say to you in your devotions this week? What did the Lord say to you this week when you read the Bible? He's going to say, ek het die enig Bible gelees en sê, man, stop die snot, bro. Jy wil die Bible lees, so I'll pick you, I'll phone you at 6 o'clock and I'll say, let's read the Bible. Are you awake? And if he presses the phone down for two mornings in a row, then next morning I'm there with a bucket of cold water. And I say, you want to gym your spirit. You want to do that. So I'm here because you want to. I'm here because you want to read the Bible. Let's read. If he says he doesn't, you know, it's boring to read the Bible, and say, okay, just read the Bible with me because my Bible's exciting. Let me show you how I read the Bible. It is really simple, but you get what I'm saying. Accountability is not just, so tell me about your sin. The whole point is not sin-focused. The whole point is growth in relationship with Christ, growth in Christ-likeness. Because if you had accountability relationship with Jesus, His accountability would be, this is what my Father said I should do, and I'm doing this. So I just asked Jesus, are you doing what you... Because Jesus wouldn't have a sin problem, but He would have a... What's Jesus' focus of his accountability? I only do what I see my Father doing. So your accountability relationship with Jesus would be, what did the Father show you to do? What did the Father command you to do? Are you doing that? Did you spend time with the Father? Jesus said, I spent all night again. It was amazing. I'm like, great, Jesus. Ask me a question. Did you spend all night with the Father? No, but I did spend time in prayer. Okay, so to be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Now really, this is really a big one. Act and experience. Act, praat, hoopelus te lang. Let's keep encourage one another. Let's keep all the other stuff. Hebrews chapter 10, same thing. Let us now consider how we may spur one another on to good works. Accountability relationship. I want to ask you, like, guys, in your accountability relationship with Neil, I'm like, Neil, yes, I really encourage you. You have to do good works. You're saved now. Your works is not going to save you. But since we're saved now, since we've got such a big grace, let's do good works to people. Let's show people the love of God. What should we do? And Neil said, no, it's very simple. Let's just join the guys in the prayer meeting, praying for the sick people in the hospital again like they did last week. I'm like, okay, cool. That's a good thing. That's a good work. And we're showing the love of God. Let's do that. Or let's just walk and talk to the homeless people. Or let's just talk to your neighbor. Take gifts to your neighbor and say, listen, man, I'm giving you this gift. It's a good box of chocolates. I just want to say, I like you, man, and I'm sure Jesus likes you as well. Very simple, good work, demonstrate good works to people. So accountability relationship. Let me just close with this slide. The volgende ene. Typical stuff that your accountability relationship can be or like, should be like, is just checking up on one another's devotion, encouraging one another to grow in your relationship with Jesus, but I mean devotions, in terms of reading the word, meditating on the word, fasting, prayer, worship at home. Just that type of stuff. Your relationship. An accountability partner, just like Neil and Mornay encourages me to go to the gym, which I want to do, the accountability partner will encourage you and ask you a question like, okay, so how's it going with your Bible reading and prayer? And the guy's going to say to you, it's really going well. I'm having 2 out of 5 mornings in a week. And I'm saying, cool. Next week, let's see 3 out of 5. Let's grow. Let's grow in your relationship with Jesus. Let's see that you grow to hear his voice and grow in loving him more. Asking a question about your thoughts. So tell me about your thought life. Listen, what are the stuff that you've been thinking this week? And I'm like, dude, you don't want to know my thoughts. It's so random. I'm like, no. I really want to know your thoughts. When I was in Malawi last year, I think I shared this before, but I had a great meeting with the Lord. I had some whack times as well there. But the one thing that the Lord, one morning while I was praying, he said to me, and it was a strong word, the Lord spoke to me strongly. He said to me, Ross, I want you to get back in a lifestyle of confessions. And this is exactly what I understood the Lord said to me, because I had a context for what the Lord was saying to me. Ross, I want you to come back to the point where you really are absolutely vulnerable and transparent with someone. And so Duval is my transparency person, my accountability person. And the Lord said to me then, he said, I want you to be absolutely honest. So I go to Duval and said, Duval, it's going to be a difficult one. I must tell you exactly what I've been daydreaming the last while. And this is really embarrassing, but I have to tell you this, because it's a sin that's inside of me. And it's inside of me now, but if I continue with this, probably I'm going to do this. So let me just tell you the thoughts that I have. So it can be thoughts of lust or thoughts of rage or whatever. Let me tell you what fills my head. Because the weird thing is, unless I share it with him, if I share it with him, then the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses me. I bring it into the light. And the amazing thing, I only had to share it with him once. It's stuff that has been in my mind for 2 years. Very embarrassing stuff. I hate it. I don't know where it comes from. But now I don't have it anymore. Why? Because of I brought it into the light and the blood of Jesus cleansed me of it. Sometimes you have to share something a few times and he asks me, so Ross, how's those thoughts? And I'm like, it's gone now. And he says, cool. Or sometimes I'd have to say to him, listen, I'm daydreaming that thing again. And he says, Ross, jy met jou rooi onderbroek wat vlieg van die dak af is nie so cool nie. You've seen that in the movie. Okay, goed, funny. Your conduct, I'm praying this with my wife every single day. I pray and I say, Lord, I pray that Magriet and I may walk worthy of the gospel of Jesus, fully pleasing you, bearing fruit in all things. And it's the type of question you ask someone. Say, listen, have you been walking worthy of the Lord this week? Is there anything that in your conduct that brought shame to yourself or to Jesus? And then you say to the person, yeah, I had a road rage issue with my boss this week. She said something to me, and that was just enough. And doesn't matter what the reason is, the point is I didn't bring glory to Jesus at that moment. Or I was in the pub with the other guys after work, and then they were laughing at some jokes, and I was so uncomfortable, but I just stayed with them and I laughed with them. I wasn't walking worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. So that's the type of stuff you just bring to the light, and you pray about it, because the idea is not to bring the sins into light, just the point is to become the type of person that doesn't do that anymore. That's the ideal. Your conduct, your obedience. What did the Lord say to me last year? The Lord said to me, I had to write a letter to my dad, and I knew what it meant when He said it to me. And I just sort of never got to it for a long time until I had to say it to Duval and say, Duval, the Lord said to me, I must do this and this. He said to me two times. He said to me two times, write a letter to your dad and before you get your own son. And so eventually I did write the letter before I got my own son, because I wanted to write it to him before I had my own boy. And just had to honor him and bring some stuff in which was still left unsaid. And I had to do all that stuff. But the point is, Duval had to get me on it. It was a point of obedience. It was the Lord commanded me to do it. I had to obey Him, but I sort of just never get around to it. Some other stuff the Lord said to me that I obeyed as well because of accountability. Temptations, ask the typical question, what are the type of stuff that you get tempted in? Or ask a question, what did you get tempted in last week that you'll probably get tempted in again? Where are you tempted? What is your temptations? It's like, tax return time. It's like, you know, it's like, who knows really how many kilometers I drove for the work? It's like, and tell the guy, listen, this is a thought of a temptation which comes to me because I can score 20 bucks, make it 2,000 bucks. And, you know, and does it really matter? I mean, I'm paying too much tax. And he's like, no, dude, that's unethical. It's wrong. You know it. He says, yes, I know it. Okay, so then that's a temptation. I'm going to pray for you that you do not fall into temptation. Very simple, that the Lord deliver you of this temptation. Witnessing, simple question, which, and this is the type of stuff that you will never get around if you don't have an accountability partner. I asked Neil, okay, so Neil, let's take Pepper Kai. Pepper Kai is working in a bank, and he's a clerk, and say, Pepper Kai, so how many guys are working with you? No, 20 guys on my floor. I'm like, okay. So how many of those 20 guys know that you serve Jesus? And now the guy next to me, because he can see my computer screen, and I get all these religious emails. I'm like, okay, great. And then I sometimes send it to him. It's like with the thing, because it says at the bottom, if you don't send this to 20 people, then, you know, the demons will come after you or whatever. I'm like, Pepper Kai, okay, so when will you share the gospel with at least, or your testimony with at least one person there? When will you do that? It's like, it's just work. I'm not supposed to make religion with work. I'm like, if you can't do that, then you're not saved. It's like, I want you. So when will you do it? I'm going to help you write your testimony out. I'm keeping you accountable this week. Share your testimony with one guy at work. Accountability. I'm just going to help you. You want to do it, but you sort of never get around to it. But now I'm going to ask you the question every single week. So have you done it? Have you done it? Have you done it? And next time if you don't do it, then I'm going to pitch at your work and I'm going to say, listen, you want to do it, so I'm going to walk with you to your guy sitting next to you and I'm going to stand there until you share your testimony with him. Just like my brother, just like Neil does to me at gym, Mornayok. Says that I'm going to the gym, you want to go to gym, I'm going to get you to gym. That's simple, accountability. You want to do it, I'm going to get you there. I know I'm talking along here, but I really want you to get this. Ask about your relationship. So tell me about your relationship with your brother, your father, or your girlfriend, or your wife. The key relationships. Just tell me, how's it going? And good is not an answer. What is happening in your relationship? What are the strains? What are the good things? What are the beautiful things? Just tell me about that. What do you still want to grow in your relationship? Where do you want this relationship to grow to? And I'm going to keep you accountable so that that actually happens. And then just in fellowship, I spoke about that earlier. So James, I saw that you weren't at cell last week. Why weren't you at cell? It's like, man, I'm just so tired. I don't want to go to cell. It's sort of a waste of time. I said, James, let's talk about that. Why does the people of God gather together? Let's just talk about that. Let's discuss it. I want you to love the people. I want you to go to cell with the word. I want you to share the word there. I want you to go to church and actually just enjoy the presence of Christ, because the presence of Christ in God's company is different than your own home. In fact, He only manifests Himself in his company of people. So talk about the fellowship stuff, the devotions. That's typically in relationships. I'll talk about LDG groups later. But I'm going to strongly encourage you, if you don't have accountability partner, then look for one, but start with a simple one. If you just have someone in a small group, or if you're not in a small group, very good point, start join a small group. But you don't need a small group to have an accountability partner. But find someone that you can at least be honest and say, listen, I want you to check up on me. You're a Christian, right? Please ask me about my Bible reading and prayer. Very simple. Ask me about it. And if you don't, then I'm going to ask you and I'm going to put a reminder on your phone to ask me. Because I'm not going to want to lie to you and I'm not going to say to you, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. Leave me out. I want to be accountable. But even if you have as friends and stuff, just change, grow your friendship to be accountable in all these areas. And then, for those of you who have accountability relationships, I want you just to grow it, to use it. Because sometimes you sort of forget to ask one another the questions. We talk about the rugby and about your girlfriend, and you sort of never get to the real stuff, the stuff that we're going to spend eternity with. Okay. Father, this is very, very simple. God, my prayer is a sincere one. I ask in Jesus' name, God, that every single person sitting here, God, that you will help us grow towards relationships that are focused on becoming like you. Not just fuzzy friendships about coffee and stuff, God, and not just about, ooh, awesome time in your presence, God, but about becoming like you. I pray, God, for those real relationships, God. I pray for accountability relationships. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll facilitate it. And Lord, I'm going to ask something. I pray that you'll stir this in our hearts until we obey you, in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, that you are always at work in us and that you are able to complete this, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Ella. We're going to close just quickly with announcements. Audrey, can I do the announcements? Thanks. I'm going to do it quick. Audrey is much more exciting than me, but I just want to tell you the most important announcements. Most important announcement is welcome for the visitors. I trust that you're really welcome. I trust that you'll enjoy the service with us. Okay. On this week, Wednesday, JPS Nehemiah Neil Soletzi, we have a Foundation One, a perspective course, right here on the campus. And for those of you who are students, I really want to encourage you. What we do is we talk about the road that we've walked. I want to ask you, I shared my testimony with you, but we sort of do this with everyone. Tell me about your encounters with God. Or with your spiritual encounters. Maybe you never had encounters with God, but just tell me about the road that you walked in. We'll share that, and then we'll ask you, what are the basic stuff that you do believe? And we'll just look at the stuff that we do believe, because your beliefs will determine your decisions and determine your destiny. So join us for the campus for that. And then we've got a community course. For those of you who want to be members in our church, or even just consider church membership, we have the same conversations about church. We ask one another, so sort of, what is the road that you've walked in church? Tell me about your church experiences. When you hear the word church, what do you picture and what do you feel? What did you remember? The good and the bad and the ugly, and then we just sort of work from there. And say, okay, cool, so this is us as a church. What do you think we are? And we'd like to know, what do you think about us as a church? And then the next one, Bible School Elective, we're going to look at Jonah. If you're struggling to read the Bible and to study the Bible, this week we're finishing up with Revelations. It's flipping amazing. And then next week we're doing Jonah. So we're going to speak about a fish and a city and a people and a God who, for the first time actually in the Bible, says that he really likes the people that dislikes him. God loves pagans. God loves, and it's in the Old Testament. He didn't want to destroy that big city of sinners, violent people. And then final farewell service next week, Sunday evening. We're saying bye to the final year students. Please, final year students, we want to say bye to you. Please bring your friends and your parents if they're here. But we're going to spend some time just to greet you and to bless you and to send you off. The whole service will be dedicated to that. Do you want to say something, Stefan? You really want some coffee? Okay, cool. Ik toch je flex net je bicep voor Lauren langs jou. Okay. Neil? Nee. Neil, kom. Flex.
Hello, everybody.